As we share tonight about Jesus' authority, what a great subject, Jesus Christ's authority. And I would like you to turn to Matthew 28 for our reading there. Matthew 28. It's a great time of year at Greater Grace because we think about missions, missionaries are coming to be with us. Many of you open your homes. Thank you so much for doing that. And we shake hands and connect. As Pam Greaves has written an excellent book on missionary stories. I've been reading it in the mornings about Greater Grace missionaries, and that's going to be a great book for you to get your hands on when it's available to the public. It's not out yet, but thanks, Pam. Great job. Beautiful. Okay. We are hosting the convention, and that is such a privilege to us. Authority of Jesus. This is Matthew 28 and verse 18, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. We'll go back to this in a minute, but I want you to think about the Great Commission and the great commander of the Great Commission. The great weapons that God has given to us to do the Great Commission. Also, God's ways are not our ways, so there is a great strategy for doing the Great Commission, which we are all part of. There are also great results from the Great Commission. We were in China 2 weeks ago, and I was so impressed with what I saw as people were spiritually focused, listening, sharing, loving, believing, and worshiping. And they are in a country that is communist. The idealism of the nation, the ideology, materialistic atheism. We have seen in other parts of the world, like the Soviet Union, Eastern Europe, and Vietnam. Pastor Doug Pearson in Vietnam is sending back the reports that these people are spiritually hungry. Communism does that. It serves us, actually. Narrowing their beliefs to atheism produces a hunger in the heart. And we are in the United States where it is a secular culture, but we also see great results, and that also can be interpreted into great rewards, great results, great rewards, great strategy, great tools, great power, great commander who has authorized us to be in the highways and byways, sharing the gospel of Christ. The only thing that can really take away man's guilt is the blood of Jesus. There are pills and alcohol and drugs, but you wake up to the same problem, the guilt of the human heart. But when the reality of Christ comes into the life of a person, and they become a worshiper of the living God, then we know that there is great power. Christ has all power in heaven and earth, the most important kind of power, and the most important kind of results. Sometime later in time, I think I have this, I can use this as a time frame. This is the year 2018, right? There is power here, now. Power, Christ's power with the believer. Sometimes when we talk to missionaries, they themselves are so amazed that when they landed and they started to move and walk, they had this amazing sense of confidence that God was with them. They had this sense of mission. They had this sense of peace, of confidence, of authority. They go to bed with it and they wake up with it, thinking that, wow, what is happening? But God is with me in this country or with these people. It seems to me, it isn't obvious to everybody, but it seems to me that the authority of God is with us in this mission of world evangelism. We could draw it this way regarding the world population. I'll change it so it doesn't get too confusing. I didn't finish that one, but here's the world's population. Cut it in half and in quarters. In a nominal way, one quarter of the world is Christian, meaning the culture, churches, the history. It doesn't mean they're believers. It just means that one-fourth of the world is in Europe or the United States or Latin America, parts of Africa, and so on. The other half of the world, or quarter of the world, lives in the presence of the Christian culture, meaning people immigrate, people move, or they're next to or nearby a Christian nation. There is a definite relationship with another part of the world. Let's say Iranians come here to this country, or Saudi Arabians study in Europe, that the Muslim population that has gone to Germany, the 1 million Syrian refugees. So they have access to Christianity by the fact that they live in a Christian or post-Christian culture. One half of the world doesn't have any presence of Christianity in it, generally speaking. This is what we're trying to say. We're trying to say that there are parts of the world where there is very little presence. For sure, God answers our prayer, and there are people there. There are radio programs that go to Saudi Arabia. There are a spattering of missionaries in Turkey. Some of them are Greater Grace people, as you know. Pakistan. India is a huge country, but now the growing Christianity is significant. So my point is that we that are believers need to travel across borders. We need to go to parts of the world where there is not the message, and it is happening. In Nepal, John and Diane Post are ministering there, and with Pastor Rajan, Pastor Narj. In India, we see the Spirit of God moving. In China, like I mentioned, this is a fantastic mission. My point of saying it is that we are world Christians, not worldly Christians, in a sensual or ungodly way, but we are Christians that believe the entire world is our target. The Great Commission is to go because there is authority from God's throne in our work, in our words, in our prayers, and even in our presence. We are there in the name of Christ. We are there on a mission. We are there with a message. We are there with kindness, a word of counsel, and a schooling or some kind of service to the people, and that there are many ways that it is expressed through the body of Christ. Now, I want you to go ahead in time to Revelation, please, and turn there with me. And we make a few points here. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. This text would take some words, some talking and explanation and teaching, and I don't think I can do much of that just now, because I want to make a point, and we're going to have to kind of understand it in a quick way. Verse 1, I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. There was a book in heaven in the right hand of God who sat on the throne. This book is tied up, connected with the future of planet Earth. Up on our screen, we could say the future of planet Earth, the future of the human race. This book has to do with legal authority and who has a right to see this future unfold with judgment that is to come upon the earth for the coming of Christ, the returning of Christ. Because we understand in our eschatology that there's a time when these plagues, tribulation, these trials are going to come on the earth for a seven-year period. But in heaven, it seems, and the Apostle John, who is there, is wondering who could open the book. Who has a right to the earth in this way? Who has a right to bring judgment on the earth? How could the evil and the wickedness that is woven into the fabric of the world, how could this be expunged, corrected, challenged, stood up against? How could the evil that is in our society and all the societies of mankind everywhere, how could this be addressed? Who has the authority to address this evil that is in the world? This is the idea. Verse 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? I don't know how to explain it. When Nazi Germany was strong with a 4 million man army, with thousands of tanks and planes and submarines, we could say in our context, and who could stand against Nazi Germany? Who could put them out of a commission? Who could challenge the evil, the lies, the racism, the debauchery, the murder? Who could challenge this system entrenched in these powerful, evil system? How could it happen? In verse 2, it says, a strong angel said, who is worthy to open the book? Worthy to open the book. Who has the right to open the book? And we could say, well, you are a strong angel. You could open the book. And the angel would say, I cannot open the book. I am an angel. I am an angel. I don't have the right over the earth. Do you know who has the right over the earth? The angel could say. Yes, I remember in the Bible it is written that man is to have authority over the earth. Man, not angels. But man was to fill the earth. Man was to be in charge. Man was to be the king of the earth. Man was to have the right. Yes, but there is no man. Verse 3, and no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. There was no one. I think this is such a story of spiritual insight that stimulates and provokes us in our hearts. And I wept much, verse 4. It seems there is no solution. How can an unclean thing cleanse an unclean thing? How can a wicked man correct a wicked man? How could a wicked system be challenged by another wicked system? How could it happen? And I wept much. There was nobody. And then verse 5, one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals there. Okay, look up here at our screen for a minute. Do you know this is going to happen here, right at this point? He has the authority to open the book. But I want to go back, way back to his resurrection. And what did he say? I have all authority and power, and I send you. That's what I want to say. I send you. There's a time coming when at the end of the 7 years, he's coming back and with a sword of his mouth. You know what will happen when he comes back? Let's say there's a leader, and he's a wicked, evil man at the end of the tribulation. He stands up against Jesus, and Jesus says, you're a dead man. He's gone. Man dies on the spot. Jesus, out of his mouth, it's over with this evil. And his kingdom comes on the earth. Now we see it this way. Go to China. I am with you. Go to Oman. I am with you. Go to Mexico. I am with you. Go to India. I am with you. Go to Nepal. I am with you. Go to Turkey. I am with you. Go to Lebanon. I am with you. Go to Syria. I am with you. I believe this. I believe the power that we feel as believers in the Spirit is so substantial that it surprises us. At times, we are amazed at the comfort and the authority and the power and the blessing. This is our honor, and it bears fruit. In a few weeks, we'll be celebrating it here when we gather and the Spirit is with us, speaking to our hearts with joy and as stories and great testimonies. And we're going to say, really? That's amazing. Here are some statistics Pastor Schiavelli found. Only 10% of missionaries work among unreached people groups. 1% of foreign mission funds are used for work among the unevangelized and unreached people. American Christians spend 0.5%, one half of 1% to reach the unreached. Christians spend, Average American Christian gives $3.56 a year to global missions. The average Western missionary spends only 3% of his time in direct evangelism. I'm not trying to present a discouraging picture, but to encourage you in the great work, Pastor Schiavelli said, wrote here in this letter, Nehemiah 6:3, you are involved with. We are involved with something. Now turn to 2 Corinthians 8 with me, please, and we will say a few things there. No, I think I'll change that. Yeah, let's go back to Matthew 28, and we'll say a few things there, and then we'll weep for a minute, thank God for a minute, and close. Verse 18, Matthew 28, 18, all power. Wow. It seems the power goes like there's all power, and the power over our tongue, the power over our speech, our hearts, the power in our decision making. As you know, many of us have done mission work, and many times we say it was a highlight of my life, and I'm so thankful. And I also realize here we are in Baltimore, a great mission field with great needs, and we're seeing great results with people that are coming in from the woods that are homeless and drug problems and so on. But these things can be swallowed up by the power of Jesus Christ. We have seen it. I think it is a rough battle. But as I walk by faith, just every day, I live by faith, the power of Christ in this work of redemption, regeneration, mind renewal, spirit filling. He does not hold anything back. This is like obvious to us in our New Testament. Exceedingly great, precious promises, great victories of incredible magnitude in every life. Remember, when you have your ideas about how your life should be, and this is an important point, my life should be this way. This is how I think. It's kind of like a frozen box. And you start to walk with God and you give those ideas to God. Lord, I need to get married. Like, give it up to God. Let God decide for you. Lord, I need to have children. Let God decide. You enjoy your marriage and your life if you are married. But those things, Lord, I got to have a Starbucks coffee in the morning when I go to work. This is a true story. We had a divorce case years ago. This woman had children young, and she said, I just want to be on my own. I want to be on my own. I want to be able to go to get a Starbucks coffee in the morning and go have a job. I never got a chance to do that. I became a mother right away. It led to divorce because she had some concept about a Starbucks coffee in the morning being important. I mean, in that way. I mean, in that degree, this is something we all struggle with. And that may sound a little humorous, or maybe I'm making fun of it, but I'm not, actually. We all have these things. My life needs to be this. I'll tell you the best advice I could give anybody. Give it to God with all your heart and be a worshiper of Him. And He can take your life and, you know, at the you will see He is wiser than I am. His way is better than my way. I might be disappointed, but I have Him. And when you have Him, it says, He is my expectation. Here's another little tip on disappointment. What's disappointment? It's appointment dist. I have an appointment and it's dist. So I am disappointed. How could I be disappointed if my appointment is a divine expectation based on something that'll never fail? God is our expectation. This is what I need in my life. God filling me, satisfying me, giving me what I need. And living in faith. I remember when Justin, my son, and I were living in Hungary, and sometime in the year, we had a talk, and he brought it to my attention some years ago. He said, Dad, when you told me not to look forward to leaving Hungary, because if I look forward to leaving Hungary, I might miss all what God wants for me before I go. If I set my affection on something in the future, number one, it may not happen. Number two, it may not happen the way I think it should. And number three, I might miss what God is doing on the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I will not be disappointed if I make God my expectation. So, there's a lot of power here. Do you know when they were weeping, John was weeping in heaven, there isn't any man. He didn't know this about Jesus yet. Jesus can take the book, the title deed for the earth, the settling of all accounts, the issues that need to be dealt with in an evil world, the confrontation with every lie, the work against every demonic spirit. There is one that is made like unto the Son of God. He became a relative of ours through the seed of David, through the seed of Abraham. He was a man indeed, so that, and that's a mystery to us, that this man is God. And that this man who is God is the answer for the whole human race. And I believe it with all my heart, that everybody in this whole human race, we have a Mongolian brother here in our congregation. Where is he? Could he just raise his hand? There he is, right back there. Mongolia. And we're talking the other day, and he's like a born-again believer and Russian-speaking and lived in Mongolia and so on. And Mongolia, only 3 or 4 million people. But we will not let our heart shrink and exclude Mongolia. But Mongolia is a mission field where there are souls there like you and I. And we're going to be thinking and praying about the world as we work in Jerusalem, Baltimore, Judea, Maryland, Samaria, Philadelphia, and the uttermost parts, Mongolia. This is our vision and our mission. It is a great commission by a great God given to us with great power, with great patience, great strategy, great deliberation, on purpose, great focus. And may we also say, maybe we make great sacrifice to get it done. Why not? Great sacrifice to say. And let me say one last thing here about finances. If my budget is $2,000 a month, which is very little, I could say, let's say $1,800 a month with my Social Security check and whatever else I get in my part-time job. It's so little money, we know. But this is not about my tithing. This is about faith. Is the power given to Jesus, is that power powerful enough to give me money every month that'll channel through me that I can give to missions? Can Jesus, you give me $10, $15, $30, $50 every month new? $50, Lord, every month. Now I can give it to missions. Give it to missions. Wow. Jesus, you have to give me that money every month, and you can do that. Now I'm going to believe you by faith. I want you to be praying about it and thinking, because Friday night we're going to have little pieces of paper, and if you want to make a faith promise, you pray about it now and think about it and just say, I think I can make a pledge that every month this year, I'm going to give X number of dollars for missions. And I want to be a world Christian. And I want to see this happen. I know you're sitting in a missionary church, but that's one reason why the room is full of people. Because we're hungry for that. I know you know that we speak about missions, and most of the pastors here have done that kind of work. I know you know that, and that we are one team in all of this, but I cannot hear it enough. I'm refreshed again in it. When Hudson Taylor lived in China, and he went back to England because he was sick, and walking the beaches of Brighton, England, he just couldn't put it away. God, send missionaries to China. Send them. This is in 1860, I think. Send missionaries to China. My heart is broken. My heart is aching for lost people, that people need to know about Jesus Christ. And please send laborers. And I think 4,000 English people, eventually they went to Hudson Taylor's China Inland Mission. And they did an amazing work. Look at the last part, verse 19. Go, therefore, and teach Bible school. Start Bible schools. Teach preaching, Bible studies, small groups. Teach, go, therefore. But do it here. Do it here. You don't have to do it there. Do it here. Go therefore into Harford County. Go therefore up into Delaware, New Jersey, and Camden, New Jersey. Go therefore to Virginia. Go in Maryland to Cumberland. Go therefore and teach. Just teach in the pizza shop. Teach on the street. Teach in the home. Have a little Bible study group. Go therefore and teach. Listen, I am with you. Wow. The anointing is there. That's salvation, one soul, one teenager. And then he said, baptize, go therefore and teach all people groups, baptizing them. And then verse 20, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. I will be with them. I will be with them. You will be sleeping. I will be with them. You're going to teach your class, go home and go to sleep. When they go home, I will be with them, and I will give that word to their spirit, and they will believe you. And closing word. I've been a missionary, you know, like in Finland, and I met a group of men in my first years there. Juha, Risto, Bjorn, Jorma, amazing group, Lasse, Olavi, amazing guys. These are still my friends, my brothers. The ladies that were there, Hanali and Elu and Eya and many, many, I cannot even mention them all. I'm amazed. Why are they believing, A.B. Altonen, why are they believing today? Because of this. I do what I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. It's because this is what you do in Rosedale and Hampton and Hamilton and Towson and Perry Hall and everywhere where there are people. This is what you and I do. We are empowered and commissioned by God. Imagine that. We are enjoying the benefits of it. It's beyond, it's above our pay grade. It's way beyond our capacity. But if you get locked in your own hopes and dreams, they may disappoint you. And furthermore, they may trouble you and they may fail you. They may, I'm not saying they may not, they may, but how safe it is to have a whole thing where he's saying, Jesus, what is on your heart? Let me pay attention to what you are doing, and you will take care of me. You will help me understand what is going on. And we don't know, none of us know, is our life going to be long or short? Let me finish with that story. Again, I could talk all night. So anyway, you got to be happy when I finish. You're going to be, wow, he could be finished. This is a true story. We had a brother in Hungary. His name was Vince Yogi, and he had birth defect, his hand and his leg. He had his leg amputated as a child because of a defect in the birth. But it's amazingly good-looking guy and humble, beautiful man. And he was in our Bible college, servant of God, disciple, 100% beautiful, amazing guy. He did a Bible study all by himself in Hungary, and he would walk with a limp, because he had a prosthetic leg, and he would go to the train, and I said, Yogi, you sure you don't need to do it? You don't have to go do that Bible study. He goes, Pastor, don't take it away from me. It's the best part of the week. I go, but you go alone, don't you? He goes, yeah, I go alone, but God is with me. And I'm on the train. And when I do the Bible study, I go, how many are there? He says, well, maybe three people, sometimes two, maybe sometimes five. Anyway, some years passed, and I said, Yogi, I think you should go to Baltimore to go to Bible college. He goes, okay, I'll pray about it. So he decided to go. And so in August or so, or beginning of September, I go, Yogi, are you going to go? He goes, yeah, I got my I-20 and everything. He goes, I go, you got to get over there. When are you flying? When are you going? He goes, well, I'm going in the second week of September. I go, no, no, you are to go now. Listen to me. And this thing came over me. I got really angry with him, kind of like, I go, you listen to me. You're to get on the plane and you're to go there now. I have total conviction about it. You are to go now. Do you know what happened 2 days later after he flew was 9/11? And they shut down all the airports and the whole thing that happened. And it would have been beyond his time. The American Embassy gave him the visa. He got to come. He came here. He studied for 1 year. He goes back. He's now 29 years old. He's ministering in Szeged. One night, he died. He was 29 years old when he died. He died in his sleep. And they don't know why. Wow. My point is, you don't know how long you're going to live. We don't know what this is all about. My point is, I'm so convinced that we are in something. We will not be ashamed for what it is that we're doing. We'll not be disappointed ultimately by what we are called to do. Everything we are doing with all of our hearts and our prayers and our attitude, our work and our friends and our people and our mission. Listen, last thing. Wow, there's another thing. Hold it. No, wait a minute. Listen, last thing. I mean, am I going to hang out with people that are trashing the church or trashing Christianity or trashing the Bible or trashing God's people? Am I going to hang out with people that are suspicious and raising questions about anything and everything, and they sit around and don't do a thing? Or do I want to say, okay, fine, you live your life, I live mine, that's your business, that's fine, I don't care about what you're talking about. I got something going on between me and Jesus Christ. That Christ has given us authority to do something, to break through and the enemy territory, to have an effect in the lives of people, to go to places where people need Christ in their life, to hear a message that delivers and liberates people from demonic and negative and unbelieving and depressing thoughts and ideas and ways of life. We're on a mission. It's precious. It's sacred. And I don't appreciate it when we don't have the sense to say, thank you very much for your time, but I don't have time for this. God bless you. I don't listen to this stuff. I don't care about this. Generally, things are good, but I'm talking about human nature in the Bible. Paul warned it. He talked about it. It happens, and it's to scatter the sheep and discourage people and lead people in unbelief, and they go nowhere with God when they could go very far with God. Okay. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, you're going to give us a great weekend, graduation month of June, and faith promise speaking to hearts and raising up men and women that make a difference. You have done it, and we ask more. And that we would not stop. It's your work, not ours. But we pray to you, the Lord of the harvest, to send laborers into the fields. You know it is needed everywhere. And put a calling on lives, Lord. Make a difference. Use this to lead us as a church in our priorities. In Christ's name. Anyone here who's not made the decision to believe in Jesus Christ, make it tonight before you go to bed. Life may be short for you. You may not have any time to fool around. You must make it. And that's not a threat. That's just godly advice. And also, if something's good, why not jump in as soon as you can? When something is good and great, then walk in it by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.